You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, the Dog Bowl in Berea. We are joined now on the hotline from DetroitLions.com. Tim Twentyman joining us. Tim, first of all, big game here for both of these teams. The Browns looking to win their fourth in a row, which is certainly something we didn't think we were going to be saying at any point. But how do you see this matchup? Let's start with the big story of the day, Calvin Johnson. What are your expectations for his availability this Sunday?
Yeah, I think that's still yet to be determined, and I think that'll probably go right up to game time like it did last week. You know, Calvin went through a pregame workout, and it just didn't seem right. You could tell, you know, standing on the sidelines that he didn't look right. His demeanor wasn't good. He was grimacing, and you know, you kind of just sensed that he wasn't going to play. The good news is that he didn't practice last week until Friday. Obviously, today he was out there. He was pretty limited. He went through position drills. He didn't do a whole lot of other stuff in the portion of practice open to the media, but I think it's certainly a good sign that he's back a day earlier. Wednesday and Thursdays are the big game plan days for the Lions, so when a guy's out there for a Wednesday or Thursday, that's always a good sign.
Yeah, and if he's a guy that's limited, Tim, and I don't know how much experience you've had in watching him where you'd say that's not really the full Calvin Johnson, but, you know, the cliche is, well, half of Calvin is better than many receivers still around the league. I don't know how much you buy into that, Tim, but give us a sense of you know, how limited would they allow him to be, or is he one of these guys that you would say it's as close to 100% or nothing with him?
Yeah, they're not going to put him out there to be a decoy, Vic, certainly. You know, they maybe could have done that last week, and they're just not going to put him in harm's way that way. You still have to be able to block down the field. You still have to do some of the things, run routes, and he just wasn't able to do that. So, you know, they're not going to put Calvin out there unless they think he can be effective. Now, you mentioned it, you know, half of Calvin Johnson is pretty effective anyway just because of what it does to a defense. You know, we've talked about this before with Calvin. I mean, there's always a safety that's rolled over to his side. There's always more room to work with the other guys when Calvin's on the field. So, you know, he played a lot of times last year, even not 100%, and he still, you know, broke the record with 19, whatever, 100 yards and all the accolades that he had last year. And he really missed practice for a majority of the time last week dealing with an assortment of injuries, including an ankle. So Calvin doesn't have to be 100% to be Megatron, but they're certainly not going to throw him out there if they don't feel that he can be effective.
Ryan Broyles is a guy that I think is a very talented player. Obviously, he's had some bad injury history with the ACLs and was playing very well last year. Remember the game with 6 catches, 126 yards on Thanksgiving. He's a guy that I think with Nate Burleson out could play a big role, but he's been limited. I saw your tweet earlier today, and you can follow Tim at T20Man, at T-T-W-E-N-T-Y-M-A-N, saying that now Ryan Broyles is finally going to get to play his full assortment of snaps. How do you see him being used the rest of the season, and is this someone who you think will be a big part of the Detroit attack going forward?
Yeah, I thought so. I wrote before the season, you know, on DetroitLions.com that he was going to be my breakout player. You know, I thought with Calvin and the addition of Reggie, I thought there were going to really be some open spaces in the middle for a guy of his talents who kind of just really understands man versus zone concepts and how to get open. You know, he was the NCAA's leading receiver, and you don't do that without, you know, knowing how to get open and knowing how to find open spots. But, you know, they've always projected October to be a kind of a return date for him. It was that way last year. Let's not forget this is a guy who's coming off his second ACL tear in as many years. And so, you know, they didn't want to rush him. They wanted to really put the full load of the offense on his plate in October. You know, they had to, you know, move that up a little bit because of the injuries that you described to Nate and some of the other weapons, but they've still monitored his snaps even in September. But, you know, offensive coordinator Scott Linehan said today that, look, I think, you know, now we take everything, we take the reins off of him. He's full go. Expect him to play the full amount of snaps or at least whatever they package for him to play. And there's going to be no restrictions moving forward. And we're going to see both his snaps and his production increase. He's certainly going to be a big player for this team while Nate and Calvin and some of those guys are out and getting back to onto the field.
Tim Twentyman joins us from the Lions official website, lions.com. You can check out his great work there. Tim, of course, the biggest problems that I think in this game, I mean, we know a healthy Calvin Johnson, what that means, but two guys who are healthy and part of a line that is healthy and dominant, obviously, Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, and that whole group. Ziggy Ansah playing well as a rookie. But I think of just the Suh-Fairley combination and the problems that that's going to present to an offensive line here in Cleveland, frankly, that has had some issues this season with pass protection.
Yeah, I mean, which one do you double, Vic? I mean, that's really what it comes down to for an offensive coordinator, because both guys are really tough to handle, you know, by themselves. And most people have been choosing to double Ndamukong Suh. That's probably the wiser of the two choices, even though, you know, Nick Fairley is just as explosive and certainly can be. He's been dealing with a little bit of a shoulder injury, and I don't think he's been as good the last 2 weeks. I've certainly expected more of him. I don't know how much of the shoulder is an issue there. But I think, you know, this Lions defense is looking for Nick Fairley to step up a little bit. I thought he was handled, you know, by the Packers offensive line last week in a majority of one-on-one matchups. And so that's something to look at early in the game. Can Nick Fairley, you know, dominate his one-on-one matchup early in the game, affect the game that way? And that's certainly going to make the Browns reevaluate what they do with Ndamukong Suh. But, you know, when those two guys are right and they're playing well together and they're playing off of each other, I think you hit it on the head, Vic. I think they're probably the best tackle tandem in the league, and it opens things up for Ziggy on the outside and Willie Young and some of the other edge rushers. And I think, you know, Ziggy's certainly been the beneficiary of that with 3.5 sacks. Leading all rookies is because there's so much focus on those two guys inside that everyone else gets those one-on-one matchups and has been able to produce because of it.
Where do you see the advantages lying for this Detroit offense against what has been a great Cleveland Browns defense, has not allowed a passing touchdown in three games? You know, with Calvin Johnson playing or not playing, we saw them struggle last week, obviously, without him against Green Bay. How do you see Detroit going about attacking this Browns team?
Well, they want to run the ball more, certainly, and I don't know if that's an easy task against the Browns defense that's been really good against the run. You know, maybe not as much last week, but certainly historically throughout the year. But the Lions, without Calvin, without Nate, and without some of those guys, they need to be more balanced. They need to run the football. They need to rely on that part of their game. But one other thing, too, is I think they need to do a better job of getting Reggie Bush in space, and maybe that's more in the passing game as well. But, you know, you do some edge rushes with him, get him out in space, and try to get that mismatch with him on a safety, him on a linebacker. And when the Lions have been successful, it's been when Reggie Bush has had big games against Chicago, against Minnesota, when he's had 170-plus total yards, doing it both through the air and on the ground. And I think the Lions need to get back to that and really trying to find good matchups with Reggie Bush this week. They do that, and they have a chance to be successful against that defense.
So, Tim, as you kind of break this game down, two very similar teams, again, looking at those identical records and really in similar places, spaces in their respective divisions and how tough their divisions are. How do you feel about this from a Browns perspective? You saw this team in the preseason. I know you keep track of this team pretty closely. What's your idea of how well these teams match up against each other?
Well, I think it's a really good matchup. I think it's going to be a low-scoring matchup. I think that Browns defense is really good, and certainly if the Lions are shorthanded, I see this being a low-scoring kind of game. And Vic, I really think it's one of those games, and you can almost say this about any game, but the turnover ratio and the big plays are really going to be the key in this one. In a game that's expected to be close against two defenses that thrive on turning the ball over, Lions didn't get any last week in Green Bay, and in a close game, that could have made a difference. And they need the big play from their defense, especially if their offense is shorthanded. And I think you could probably say the same thing for the Browns as well. And the Lions really need to limit the big play. The big play killed them last week, a 67-yard run by Randall Cobb, an 83-yard touchdown by James Jones. Other than that, the Packers in that explosive offense got 5 field goals. So it's the big plays that really are going to be a difference in this game. And if the Lions can get a turnover or two, get a short field and help that offense that might be shorthanded, I think that could be the difference in the game for really both teams.
It's going to come down to taking care of the football, making plays at critical moments in what is likely to be a tight and low-scoring game. I agree with you, Tim. Thanks so much for joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Again, we were talking with Tim Twentyman, Detroit Lions senior writer and insider, so appreciate the time, and we'll see you this Sunday.
All right, guys. Anytime. See you Sunday.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, folks. Remember, I got a two-parter for you. You ready? We're going to dress you. How? Because the best fans in the NFL need their gear. You can shop the new and improved selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., 7 days a week, or shop from anywhere. The convenience of your own home when you go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Then take this gear, put it on your body, look very sharp, wear it every single Friday to paint the town Browns. So wear your Browns gear to work or school Fridays throughout the season. Send us your photos using the hashtag WeAreCleveland.
Sell it, Nathan.
Get the gear, wear the gear, paint
well
the town
done.
Browns. We are Cleveland. Thank you.
I'm going to buy some gear now, and I even got some free stuff. But I'm just going to, just because of that convincing spot.
And you're going to wear it tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting in these orange chairs.
That's right.
On this orange rug, in this orange room.
We will.
With glass around us.
Yeah. I think I'll wear an orange shirt.
Case of emotion. What will the emotions be like in this glass case of emotion on Monday if this team wins four in a row?
It'll be Jubilation City, to glass, quote the great Dick Vitale.
Glass might crack.
That's right, of excitement.
Much is coming up here. Gerard Cherry, speaking of exciting stuff. He'll join us shortly on CBD Football Thursday.
Five in a glass case of emotion!